I'm turning tonight to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and I read verse 7. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. My title from this verse, Joy in Heaven. Joy in Heaven. I could equally have called it Joy on Earth and Joy in Heaven. It worked both ways. But here is the surprise. I hope you see the surprise. Unbelievable. Really unbelievable. This is about Earth giving joy to Heaven. Normally, we on earth, we seek the blessing from heaven. Give us, bless us. But here, we see the opposite. It is about earth making heaven to be happy. It is about earth making heaven to rejoice. How come? Heaven doesn't need anything from us. But we are told that there is joy in heaven for one sinner, just one. Oh, my dear friends, the salvation of just one sinner rejoices God. God doesn't need anything from you and me. What does he need? He has all. He has all things. He rules over heaven and earth. Gold and silver belongs to him. Happiness belongs to him. But here, one sinner repenting brings God's smile in heaven and upon earth also. Oh, allow me a few words of introduction again before we dive into this wonderful parable. Luke chapter 15, this is classic, has been called the pearl of parables. Psalm 23 has been called the pearl of Psalms, Isaiah 53, the pearl of prophecies, but Luke chapter 15, the pearl of parables. Why? Because Luke chapter 15 contains the greatest parables ever spoken under the sun. Ever spoken. What is it all about? Look at verse 3. We are told, and he spake this parable unto them. And he spake this parable. It is in singular. It is as if there was only one parable. Sometimes we divide Luke chapter 15 in a quartet of parables. The lost sheep, the lost coin of silver, the lost son, and the lost elder brother. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, this is really just one parable. Why? Because it is one account and one message. And the message speaks about repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The necessity of repentance from sin and the necessity to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The parables of Christ are miraculous words. There are miracles in words for the soul. That's how you have to explain really parables. They are not just nice stories. No. Never call them stories. But these are miracle words in order to draw your attention and to feed our souls, to help us to see what Christ has achieved for us. Actually, the parables, all his parables, are telling us the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ come into this world? First, he came to receive sinners. Second, he came to receive sinners. And this is all that is explained for us in Luke chapter 15. And this is also to make us to think about the need of our souls. So as you look at it tonight, as we look at it together, you will see that Christ is calling every one of us a sheep, a lost sheep. That's the meaning of the parable. But the Pharisees, when you look at verse 2, And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. They missed it all. They did not understand the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in this parable, just one last aspect, in this parable, we also see the Lord Jesus Christ speaking about himself. He's the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the guardian shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's the saving shepherd. He's the protecting shepherd. Everything you want to understand and grasp about a shepherd is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did not just come to rescue sinners. He came to endanger his life, to put his life in danger, but also to give his life. But the second aspect, not just Christ is speaking about himself, but my dear friends, he's speaking about our lost condition, about you and me. Five headings. Heading number one, look at it in verse 4. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? My dear friends, you can see here the first heading, the parable begins with a question. What man of you? Which one of you? That's the question. There is a logic. There is a logic behind Christ's words. It means that is your logic, that is my logic. If you have 99, you lose one, you will do your best to find it. Even you, as a human shepherd, as a human person, as a human being, you are willing to die. How about, or how much more, God, the good shepherd, is willing to set aside everything. God will never find rest until he finds that sheep. God takes interest in each one of us. Oh, that amazes me, really, to let you know my heart, that God is interested in me, a poor sinner, a nobody in the society, but God is interested in me. And we read it in Isaiah chapter 53. The Bible says that we all like sheep have gone astray. All of us. With no shepherd. No shepherd. And you see, a sheep needs shepherds at all the time. All the time. Meaning that left to ourselves, we will never find our way to heaven. The shepherd must go to the sheep, the lost sheep, exactly where the sheep is. Otherwise, we will never get ourselves out of trouble. That is the trouble with us. And my dear friends, you don't need me to tell you this. A dog, a cat, a cow, a donkey, a horse will find its way home. But a sheep, and I grew up with sheep actually, with goats, with donkeys and so on, with camels. So I can understand what's going on here. Oh, my dear friends, the sheep is you and me. We will never find God by ourselves. We will never find heaven just by our good works. We will never find God as a father thinking that we will do it our way. We need to yield. We need to understand that the shepherd came exactly where we were in this world in order to remonstrate with us and to reason with us and to show us how much we are far from the living God. But I must move to the second heading. Heading number two, look at it in the passage. We are lost. Lost. Please later, just skim through Luke chapter 15, just to give you an idea. From verse 4 to verse 10, the word lost is mentioned five times. Five times. The emphasis is on our lostness. That is the emphasis. You are lost. I am lost. And the sheep is ruined. The sheep is injured. The sheep is weak. The sheep is scabby. The sheep is stubborn. The sheep is starving. The sheep is obstinate. All these things are describing our human race. There are so many wolves. There are so many philosophies. There are so many ideologies. There are so many religions. But all of them are actually to slaughter us, not to shepherd us. And the sheep is straying and has lost any sense of orientation. The sheep is completely disoriented. You see it in our world. There are so many religions, and sometimes you wonder, oh, which one is true? Which one should I follow? That is us. We are in a confused world. That's why we need a shepherd. The lostness of each one of us. And the word lost there, really the Greek word means to be in great distress. The Greek word means also to be in great danger. We are perishing. Another term to use in terms of being lost is we are perishing. Daily perishing, daily going away from the God who made us. We are perishing because we are defenseless. You know, a sheep doesn't have horns. It doesn't have claws. It doesn't have venom. A snake has venom to defend itself, but a sheep, to be able to show some showing teeth is just something she cannot do, or it cannot do. The sheep needs a shepherd at all times. We are defenseless. You know, we are defenseless because we have sinned against God. Sin splintered us. Sin damaged us. Sin has made us to be found with many wounds. Many wounds. And you see that with religions. They leave the person dead there, completely dead. They have no power to raise him up from the dead. But we are lost because of our nature. We are lost because of our foolishness. And because of that foolishness, guess what? There is a sentence of death upon us. There is a sentence upon us. So if tonight you have to stand before God without the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, without repentance and faith on him, oh, he will say you are condemned. But the hope we have today is that we are still able to hear the gospel, to preach the gospel, and to call you to the cleansing waters, to come and drink freely, freely, by grace, because you cannot earn salvation. Oh, my dear friends, to be lost is not about losing your house, or that is sad. It's not about losing your credit card, your passport, or losing your health, or even losing your mind. This is not what we are talking about. But there is something more precious. You see, losing your soul is the losing of you, your personality, your character, your eternity. When you stand before God, there is no hope for you. This is what we are talking about. And the preciousness of your soul makes you to be willing to do something. God is calling you to do something. Why would you die? Why would you die of hunger while there is plenty food? Why would you live homeless while there is a refuge? There is a roof over your head through the mercies of the Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, what man of you? There is a logic. God is seeking after us. The second, why do we need God? Because we are lost. We are perishing. But look now, the third element, heading number 3, the pursuing, the persevering, and the persistent shepherd. It's here the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us in verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? He will do that great work. Oh, my dear friends, the amazing good news here is that God sent his Son, his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent him to find us. He sent him to find us in tenderness, with compassion. And he sent him in the perfect divine and human shepherd. Christ is human as a shepherd, but he is divine. The two natures of Christ in one person. He is God. But you see, even picturing him as a shepherd tells you this is the tenderness. You know, the shepherds of this world, they have a flock. For what reason? Yes, it's a way of being employed. It's a way of provision. But all of them get some benefit from their flock. But this shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, is getting nothing from you. You contribute nothing to him. No gain at all from you and me. And actually, it's completely the opposite. We gain everything. We gain everything. Because he is God. But he humbled himself as a shepherd coming to us. And the Lord Jesus Christ, we read again in Isaiah 53, he was bruised, he was crushed for our iniquities. On the cross of Calvary, the shepherd gave his life for his people. He gave his life for his sheep. That's what we read. And he took upon himself the burden, the guilt. He took upon himself the load of our sins. That's what he did on the cross of Calvary. And you see, in the past, I read it not long time ago, the oldest, the most ancient picture, which has really encouraged so many believers in the time of persecution in Rome. You know, the emperor was persecuting the believers. The believers became like the lights of his garden while he is having his orgies of drinking and impudicity in his garden. He will put fire on Christians, and he will be walking among their bodies. And the picture that have encouraged many believers when they had to hide in the catacombs in Rome was a sheep on the shoulders of a shepherd. Oh, Christ did that. He came down from heaven to earth, and he took upon himself the pain, the punishment, the condemnation we deserve if we trust in him. So think about it. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is the Savior. The Lord dropped everything. Everything he dropped, he laid aside even many of his prerogatives. He went as far as possible to come down with no reputation and even to be crucified on the cross of Calvary. You heard it many, many times that to be crucified on the cross, you become a pariah of the society. If you were a noble person, you become a nobody. A nobody. Everyone will run away from you. Oh, my dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is like the Good Samaritan. You know what the Good Samaritan did? He binds up the wounds of the sheep, of each one of us. He pour in oil and wine in order to heal the wounds. And he set us up on his shoulders to care for us, to protect us against the wolves, to protect us against the enemy of our souls, and to give us eternal life. But I must come to heading number 4. Look at the shared joy. The shared joy. And you can see it in verse 7, in verse 10, I say, and in verse 5 actually. And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. It's about joy. It's about joy in verse 6. It's about joy in heaven in verse 7. As soon as the shepherd finds his sheep, immediately there is a celebration. My dear friend, there is something I hope you notice it. Christ knows what is happening in heaven. He knows what is happening. He was on earth. Where did he come from? He came from heaven. In John chapter 3, verse 13, he tells us so, that he was in heaven. And he knows the whereabouts of heaven. He knows what makes a feast in heaven. He knows what makes a celebration in heaven. And when the shepherd found the sheep, do you see something else? There is no mincing. There is no menacing. There is no rebuke. He doesn't rebuke the sheep. He doesn't reprimand the sheep. He doesn't beat the sheep on the head. He doesn't shake the sheep to say, "What have you done?" But instead, I don't want to detain you long, but there is a celebration from 8 or 9 parties here. May I list them to you? Just they are all in here in Luke chapter 15. The Father is celebrating. The Son of God, the Shepherd, is celebrating. The Holy Spirit mentioned here is celebrating. The angels of God, number 4, is celebrating. And I believe even the saints who have gone before us are celebrating. The your loved ones, if you come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, are celebrating. The church is celebrating. The sinner himself is celebrating. What a celebration. You know, there is no celebration in heaven when you have graduated. You got a PhD, there was no celebration in heaven. You celebrated here and you are proud of the parchment you have been given, but there was no celebration in heaven. Oh, you became a millionaire, there was no celebration in heaven. And in this world, if I can speak about myself, nobody has been excited about me. That is fine. But you see the good news? When I repented, when I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven was filled with amazement. That's why we are calling you tonight. You want heaven to be happy? You want God to be happy? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Pharisees, we read it in verse 2. The Pharisees were grumbling. The scribes were grumbling. But God rejoices. God rejoices. And now, in his joy, the shepherd takes the sheep, carry it on its shoulders to protect it, to provide for it. The Lord Jesus Christ stooped down. He came to our level. He made himself one of us to show us how to respect God, how to honor God, and how to have our sins. He lived the life we should have lived, and he lived the death that we should have died for. He accomplished all things. He fulfilled all things. What a compassion! What a compassionate God! What a patient God with us! Found, rescued. What do we get? He restores us into green pasture. Please, later, I have no time to even recite to you Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You can read it for yourself later and you will see this is the shepherd who leads you into the peaceful waters. This is the shepherd who restores your soul. This is the shepherd who makes you to lie down in green pastures. A human shepherd will never be able to restore your soul. So we can say this is about the heavenly shepherd. Oh, my dear friends, let me close. Our fifth heading, the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter is here in verse 7. And if you miss everything, if you miss verse 7, you missed it all. Oh, look at it again. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. My brothers and sisters, my dear friends, God is not asking you to debate with him. God is not asking you to dialogue with him. God, we read it in Acts chapter 17, verse 31. God commanded all men everywhere to repent. This is what God is calling you to do. For God to make you happy. For God to make you to rejoice. This is the condition. He has first to make you sad because of your lost condition. That is how God works. And we mentioned it at the beginning of our sermon tonight. We said repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what God is calling you to do. Oh, my dear friends, repentance is essential. A sheep may not find its way home, but you know, a sheep can cry out. What is the word for the cry of a sheep? A sheep can bleat. So please allow me to make that illustration or that analogy. Repentance for a sheep is like bleating. Bleat to the Lord. Cry to him. Lord, be merciful to me. Lord, rescue me. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, show me the way. Lord, show me my need. And if you do that, according to this promise, that joy will be given to you free of charge, and you will be a child of the living God. Oh, the Pharisees, you know, you remember what the Pharisees said in verse 2? This man receiveth sinners. Oh, thank God he received sinners. Thank God that he received sinners. You know, repentance is the sinner's response to the grace of God. Repentance will make you to stop from grumbling and grumping. Repentance will make you to stop from complaining. And that grumbling, that murmuring will be replaced with spiritual joy. Repentance is the key to salvation, and repentance is the only door to heaven. Repentance is the only door to eternal life. So please, my dear friend, bleat to the Lord, bleat to be saved. Then you can also say tonight, even before you leave this place, you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Let me read for you as I close what is said about the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. I noted that verse and I read it for you. And it is said, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Oh, this is the shepherd full of love. This is the shepherd who is ready to save. Come to him. You are lost, but the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to find that which was lost. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that many, oh Lord, many, not just one, will bleed to thee tonight in repentance and faith, crying to thee for thy help to receive free salvation. Oh Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to do the work which no man can do. Oh Lord, be gracious. Oh Lord, we pray that thou will continue to stir up the desire for us to be saved. And those of us who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, oh Lord, help us to love thee, to walk with thee, and to give thee thanks for such a great salvation. We ask these blessings again in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.